Absolute love leads to respecting the divine within. Self-love leads to respecting the divine within. Loving oneself leads to respecting the divine within. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing, Absolute Monastery, Absolute University of Philosophy here in Campo, California, with the Absolute Philosopher. Self-love leads to respecting the divine within. We have been taught by our parents that we should not have pride. We should not have an ego. We should not have a feeling of self-confidence and self-appreciation and self-worship, in fact. And this is the farthest thing from the teachings of all the great philosophers, all the great teachers, all the great mentors who have ever lived. Self-love leads to respecting the divine within. Now, if I were to say to a child, you're a naughty boy, you're a dirty little child, you're a rotten child, that child would take within his consciousness that attitude that he is a naughty little boy, a rotten child, a dirty child, not worthy of anything. And because he would have that attitude, he would not respect who he really is. Now, you've all heard the phrase, a rose is a rose is a rose. By any other name, a rose is a rose. Now let's expand that. An atom is an atom is an atom. By any other name, it's an atom. The creation that we are is divine. The creation that we are is divine. The creation that we are is divine. And it cannot be otherwise. Now, if a diamond has dust and dirt over it from the millennium, that does not make it any less a diamond. It merely makes it an undiscovered diamond or an unrecovered diamond. The diamond is still there in all of its glory and all of its splendor. You and I are divine beings in all our glory and all our splendor. And when you allow yourself to be anything less than your divine self, then you don't like yourself. You know, you don't like yourself. When you think that you hurt your toe, you don't like yourself. You know, when you think that you said something, oops, I shouldn't have said that. You know, you don't like yourself. You see, whenever you are not totally 100% in charge of yourself and everything you do, you don't like yourself. Now, it doesn't mean you're any less likable or any less desirable or any less lovable or any less perfect. It just means that you have chosen to walk down a dusty road. And as Barrett Spaulding speaking to the masters as he walked down a dusty road, he said to the fellows, how come you guys wearing these beautiful white suits that the dust just doesn't cling on you? And the masters, who are very wise, they said, hey, we cannot conceive how one speck of God's substance can cling to another speck of God's substance where it's not wanted. Now, if we don't want dust on us, it will not be there. Well, now, they were saying that for him in his primitive innocence. What they really were saying was, we are pure, and to the pure all is pure. There is no such thing as impurity in our world. There is no such thing as dirt, if you're going to compare dirt to cleanliness. There is no such thing as dirt. You cannot say dirt, because it doesn't exist in our consciousness. Now, while we are talking with these earthlings, while we're talking with these people who do not want to recognize their divinity, we sometimes, when in Rome, do like the Romans do. But that truly is not a benefit. I was telling you about the monk that was walking around at the fairgrounds and at SeaWorld. And this monk was a lovely young man, maybe 30, 35 years old, wore glasses, shaved his head, wore a saffron robe, no pants, and nice sandals, you know, and nice watch, and a digital camera that he's swinging around, you know, and an umbrella. Well, now, a nice guy, but who was he? Was he putting on the image that people expected of him, the umbrella, because they had seen it in India? They had seen it in movies, perhaps, you know, where the, but they don't. What is the whole thing about a saffron robe? Tell me, anybody. What is the thing about it? It's poverty, not poverty, but it's
non-possession.
Non-possession. They're not possessed of anything. They don't need an umbrella. They don't need to have the robe. They can be naked. They don't even need sandals. They don't need, you know what they do? You know what they do? They walk above the ground. Next time you see a monk in a saffron robe, a real monk in a saffron robe, not just somebody who wishes they were, because sometimes the ones who wish they were too are okay, but the real one. And if you are good, if you're looking from your divinity, if you're looking from your purity, you will see they're not even touching the ground. Their feet don't even touch the ground. The environment of this 21st century, 22nd century, 23rd century, whatever we're calling ourselves here, it is not around them. They don't breathe that air. You understand? They don't breathe it. They don't drink that water. They may appear to, but they don't. They don't eat that food. They may appear to, but they don't. They may look fat like the Buddha, Paramahansa Yogananda, Bhagwan. They're all husky guys. They ate well. Why? It was easier than telling their people, let me alone. Look at Mahatma Gandhi. Remember him? Mm-hmm. He fasted because he wanted to put his body apart, not be possessed by the body, apart from the idea that he was looking at peace for this nation. He was putting himself apart from it. He wasn't killing himself. They thought he was, and they pretended he was, and the doctors were all worried about him. But he was a spiritually illumined man. He was a spirit. He could have lived forever in that state. Now, did he have to get shot? No. Did Abraham Lincoln have to get shot? You know?
No.
Anybody?
No.
No. It's all part of the game. It's all part of the game. I told you about the Sufi masters in the Himalayas, and they were lined up against the wall by a bunch of Russians whose job was to exterminate them. I mean, that's just their job. They're not right or wrong. It's just their job. And so one monk said, just a minute, I want to go get my shoes. He went inside and got his shoes and came out. He didn't have to do that. He could have thought the shoes on his feet. He could have reached right through the wall and got it, but it would have blown their mind. But he showed humanness. And then when they shot him, blood and guts were splattered all over, just like illusions. Just like illusions. Down with Samoda. And then in the next scene, Down with Samoda's airplane and himself are in perfect shape. You see, this is what spiritual illumination is. This is what self-love leads to, respecting the divine within. When you begin to recognize that this is a temple, and you don't worship the temple, you know. This is a temple of the living spirit. You don't worship the living spirit. You are the living spirit. You live the living spirit. You express the living spirit. You're divine. Now, when do you want to start enjoying that divinity? Well, you never will. You never will enjoy that divinity, because the moment you have arrived at the state of awareness of your divine self, you don't know you're there. You have no, it's like a spiritual healing. You have no idea that you ever thought differently than when you are thinking as a divine being, you see? And you know, it sort of takes the fun out of it, but from the human point of view. But now, you have never seen a person who has expressed his divinity, because you must live in your divinity if you're going to see them in their divinity. A master sees another master, and the reason we don't see more masters in our life is not that we don't are not being a master, that we are a master. It's that we're not acting like one. Can we act like a master under all circumstances? Can we act like a master under all difficulties that may come our way, all the things that'll shake us up and that'll just make us feel, what's the use of going on? I mean, it's so terrible. Yeah. Think about it. Think about it. Well, our friend Daniel Vanetti, our webmaster, he turned to me as we were talking today. He says, you know, Herb, I read Illusions by Richard Bach. He says, that's great. He said, that's really great. And I said, yes, it is really great. But you see, sometime, somehow, somewhere, he has taken time to read it. And it cannot help but leave a great impact on him, as it did on us and does on everyone who reads it. Not because Richard Bach is such a sacred writer. He's very blessed to write with the style that he's using and with the flavor that he's doing. But for a master writer, you would never call him that. You'd say he's good, but he's not a master writer. And, well, he sold millions of dollars worth of books. Yeah. Lots of people sell millions of dollars worth of books, and their writing isn't all that great. But what he had to say was great. The ideas that he presented were great. You see, the magnificence, the genius, the immortality of the things that he was expressing, that was great. If you ever want to write, just write. And if what you have to say is super, it will be good without it. Remember I told you about my wife? She told me, Herb, you don't sing good, you can't sing, you can't do this. And I said, but sweetheart, listen to the other people on the radio. You hear their voices? I'm a lot better than they are. And they're getting paid good money for all that there. She said, but we're professionals. She wanted to have a certain criterion for how we were and how we express and how we lived. And super, you know, that's super. But along the way, you have to be gentle. You have to be gentle that you don't kick somebody out of the nest before they're ready to fly. And we do that with people because we tell them that they're good or they're bad or they're not good or they're not bad. Now, we dealt with Sabrina, Gertrude's granddaughter. And Sabrina had some natural little experiences that any girl her age would have, but not true. The girls her age don't have those experiences because she is a leader. She is a top of the flock one. She is the one that all the geese follow. She is the one that leads the herd, that leads everybody. I mean, she just learned how to drive the golf cart, and her brother, who'd been driving it for years, followed her. Not that he didn't want to go ahead himself, but he's not a leader type. He is just a happy person, an introspective person, a beautiful person. But she's a leader. She's got to get out there and show the world where to go and enjoy it. And if she remains being trained as beautifully as she is, she will be a very significant leader. If she does not have high values and high goals for herself, she should be useless, you know. But if she has high values and high goals for herself, as she does now, wow, I tell you, she's an amazing girl. Now, you can't see that unless you are too. I'm an amazing girl. No, you can't see that unless you are too. You have to have that divinity within you. You have to have that magnificent within you. You have to have that leadership talent within you. Otherwise, you would just think that she's hyperactive, you know? A lot of people do. They think their kids are hyperactive. They think their kids are misdirected. They think their kids have problems. But I thoroughly went through a lot of things with her, and the problems are in the observer, are in us, how we observe her. She is a super girl. Now, her brother, another super guy, but totally different. Totally. He is an introspective person who is happy in himself. He is at peace whether he's following or whether he's leading or whether he's doing anything. He just is at peace. And he doesn't have to show off. He doesn't have to slam on the brakes and put on the gas and do all these things. He doesn't have, you know, we've had a lot of kids out here who have done that. And that was just part of their domineering attitude, showing that they have, you know, that they're somebody. But he, just with his gentleness, with his sincerity, with his purity and his goodness, ha, my goodness, you don't have to be told who he is. It's all right there. Now, what about you and me? Self-love leads to respecting the divine within. When we begin saying, I live in the temple of the Holy Spirit here, when we begin saying, my body is beautiful, when we begin saying, I am a wonderful person, when we begin saying, I like me, I like me, I like me, you know? When we begin saying that everything in our world is all
divine order.
In divine order, right? When we begin saying everything is always in divine order, we have that right on the tip of our tongue all the time. Now, Ingeborg, you do not make me happy when you take time from your meditation time to clean up the dishes. You understand? The meditation time comes first, then you clean up the dishes. You understand? If you think dishes are more important than your meditation time, you're in the wrong place, you know. We are here to walk our spiritual path. Now, that doesn't mean that if the telephone rings, we don't answer it. Because remember, what's his name said? His master said to him.
Oh,
Swami Rama, yeah. Are you meditating, Swami?
Yes,
Master. If he heard the Master, he could not have been meditating. If you hear the bell of the telephone, answer it, because you're not in meditation. Answer it, because you're not in meditation. If you're in meditation, you will not hear it. If, now look, think how stupid you are. How utterly stupid you are. People can watch a movie and not realize that the windstorm came up outside. Not realize the kids are running through the house. Not realize, a silly movie that you know is created to catch your attention, you know? Now, we cannot train ourselves to listen within with the same dedication we give to watching a movie. And we know it's a movie. And we cry over it, we laugh over it, we sing over it, we just talk about it. I mean, my goodness sake, let's do that about our introspection time. I tell you how much fun introspection time is. I tell you how much fun meditation is. I tell you how much fun these things are. And I demonstrate it to you just by many of these talks. And then you say, boring. Because you're not honest. If you are honest, you'll give yourself 100% to it, just like you give yourself to the movie. Just like you give yourself to it. Now, as Ingeborg tells us, in the movie, well, it's so exciting, she stays awake. And anything else, she falls asleep. But don't do that. You're wide awake all the time. Wide awake, full of life. As Charles Fillmore said, I have the zest for living. He's 97 years old. And that's good. But that's good. But I'm merely telling you these things because this is what you say and don't. How can one speck of God's substance cling to another speck of God's substance where it's not one? It's not a matter of it's dirty or clean or something. It's a speck. And I don't know any black people. I don't know any colored people. I don't even know any white people. All I know is a person. The person who is speaking to me, whom I'm sharing with. People say, Herb, how can you be so loving to these people of all these different races? You go to these different countries and you walk right out there and you shake their hands and you hug them and you hug them, you really hug them with love. And you kiss them, and you do these things. And I mean, those people they're you know living in their limited environment with disease germs and stuff. Hey, what a wonderful way to die! Hugging someone that you sincerely love, and you don't have to die. But what a wonderful way to go! Don't worry about it. Don't worry. I am surrounded by the pure white light of love. And that doesn't mean I'm taken away from anything harmful to me. It just means I am surrounded by love. Love. And this is the wonderful thing about life. You're surrounded by love. People wonder why they have venereal diseases. It's not because they love somebody. It's because they lust for something. They want something that they know is not proper for them to have. Well, sex is not proper to have. Yeah, that's right. There is a time for it and there's not a time for it. You know that when you feel really good and close to a person, really fantastic, you're both pure spirits and you choose to have sex, good. You know? But you don't have to. But I'm not for it or against it, you understand? I'm merely saying, to the pure, all is pure. When you are impure in your thought, in little ways, you'll get some problems. Always be pure. Always live this philosophy. Self-love leads to respecting the divine within. And what happens when you respect the divine within?
I am it.
You am it. You express it, you live it, you demonstrate it, you am it in every wonderful way. And that's great, and that's true. Now, I made these things a little bit tough at times, a little easy at times, but I have only one job in my life, to be a mentor, to show people the way. And only to show them the way that they want to have me show them, because they come to me to hear the way I have to show them. If they want to see it a different way, they go to somebody else. Because there's many ways to do things. There's only one way to find your spiritual self, and that's listen to me. Ha, ha, ha. What is it?
Going within.
Going within. Yourself.
Yeah.
And I can't go there. You haven't given me a pass. You say, yes, ha, ha, ha. You won't let me in your heart. None of you. None of you will let me in your heart. You know why? You know why? Because you haven't even let yourself in there. You haven't even let yourself in there. If I said to you on the traditional standard, if God were coming to visit today, what's the first thing you do? You clean up the house, son. Why don't you do that all the time? Why don't you keep a nice clean house? If God were coming to visit today, you'd wash the kids' mouth out with soap. You'd make sure they all said good things. Well, why don't you do that all the time? If God were coming to visit today, what would you do? What prayer would you ask him? What is the thing most present on your heart that you would ask God if God were an outside entity coming in to visit you?
I'm oneness as God.
Oneness. Oneness. Money. But how many people think of that? They say health, wealth, happiness, some human attitude. But to be one, hey, you want to be the golden goose or you want to be the golden egg? You know? You want to have all the wishes you could ever wish or you want three wishes? You know, it's all relative. When you are one, there's no more relative. Because then it's over with. Then you're complete, you're whole, you're perfect, you're fantastic. It's done. Absolute philosopher gives us things to think about. Doesn't tell us we're right or wrong. Doesn't tell us how to do anything. But just, yes, it is fun to meditate. It's fun to introspect. It's fun to listen to the divine within. And it's fun not to. Because when you don't know what you're missing. But when you learn to listen within and you find out what you're missing, you'll never miss it again because you're not missing it anymore. You found it. Have a lovely evening and know that I bless you with all my heart and soul and being, and that everything I am, I give to you. And all I ask is, take a little bit of it. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you.